Thank you. The work that I'm presenting today is research that I did for my dissertation project, focusing on the effects of plant chemistry on the caterpillar immune response, and in turn how this affects parasitoid success. So caterpillars have many defenses that they use against predators and parasitoids. And just to put this in a multi-trophic sense, many of these defenses can be plant-based. So defenses such as crypsis, sequestration, and regurgitation are dependent upon the host plant that these caterpillars are feeding upon. And several studies have looked at the effectiveness of these defenses against a particular natural enemy, parasitoids. And they've found that sequestration, gregarious feeding, shelter building, and coloration are not effective against parasitoids. And in fact, they actually increase the likelihood that these caterpillars will be parasitized. And the only defense that was marginally significant or effective against parasitoids was regurgitation, and this was only for parasitic Hymenoptera. So what I was interested in doing is looking at the immune response, the encapsulation response, and seeing how this defense compared to the other defenses, how effective it is against parasitoids. So the encapsulation response is an innate immune response that all insects have against foreign bodies inside of their hemocell. And it begins when a foreign object enters a caterpillar, such as a parasitoid egg, and specialized cells called hemocytes will begin to build up layers around the egg. So like you can see on these top images, the encapsulation process taking place, and the cells undergo a melanization process where the cells actually harden onto the surface of the egg. That's thought to asphyxiate the egg, and the melanization process creates a biotoxic, a cytotoxic environment for that egg, and that also contributes to killing the egg. So the questions that we were interested in addressing is how effective is this against parasitoids, and is it effective by plant chemistry? So to look at the effectiveness of the immune response, we looked at 16 different species of caterpillars from 9 families, and we measured the immune response of these caterpillars. We looked at their parasitism because we had a data set from Costa Rica started by Lee Dyer and Grant Gentry 16 years ago. So we had 16 years of parasitism data for these caterpillars. To measure the immune response, caterpillars were injected with glass beads to mimic a parasitoid egg. The beads were dyed red, injected into the caterpillars. The caterpillars were given 24 hours to mount an immune response. The beads were then dissected out of the caterpillar and the melanization measured on the bead. So the darker the bead, the higher the melanization and the stronger the immune response. So what we found was that the immune response was the best predictor of parasitism, with the parameter estimate almost twice that of the next best predictor. And what's interesting about this is that the immune response is actually protecting the caterpillar against parasitism, whereas shelter building and the other predictors cause caterpillars to be more vulnerable to parasitism. When we looked at a correlation between melanization and parasitism, we found that there was a negative correlation. So each of the points on this graph represents a species that we looked at. So as you can see, as melanization increases in these species, the parasitism rates decrease. And we sampled across a variety of taxa, as shown on this phylogeny here. And we also looked at parasitoid taxa and which parasitoid taxa were attacking these caterpillars. And you can see from the red here, flies were the majority of the attackers on these parasitoids, followed by wasps and nematodes. And this shows that the encapsulation response is effective not just against wasps, but also flies as well. So I've shown that encapsulation is a good defense that caterpillars have against parasitoids. Now I want to look at what are the sources of variation in this response. So in this stratrophic model, secondary compounds that are sequestered by caterpillars have classically been shown to protect caterpillars against predators. However, this might not be true for parasitoids if sequestering secondary compounds are having a negative effect on the caterpillar's immune response. So that there's an indirect positive effect of secondary metabolites on parasitoids via disruption of the encapsulation response. So we asked, what are the effects of plant chemistry on encapsulation? And to do this, we used the common buckeye. It's a chemical specialist. It feeds on plants with iridoid glycosides, and it sequesters iridoid glycosides from its host plant. The higher the concentration of iridoid glycosides in the host plant, the more the caterpillar sequesters. So we set up an experiment where isolated and purified iridoid glycosides were pipetted onto the surface of Plantago major, a host plant of the buckeye. And we set our concentrations at 2% for the low diet and 10% for the high diet. We measured encapsulation, and we also measured feeding efficiency and respiration as another measure of the cost of sequestration. And what we found was that caterpillars feeding on the high iridoid glycoside diet had a lower melanization response. This was significantly lower compared to the control diet, which was just caterpillars feeding on Plantago leaves. So this supports our hypothesis that feeding on plants with high chemicals and sequestering those chemicals has a negative effect on the immune response. These data also allowed us to do path analysis. And what we found here was that the high 10% iridoid glycoside diet had a direct negative effect on encapsulation. Additionally, the high iridoid glycoside diet increased the approximate digestibility in these caterpillars, which in turn had a negative effect on encapsulation. So approximate digestibility is the movement of nutrients across the gut wall. So what may be happening here is with the movement of nutrients across the gut wall, there's more iridoid glycosides crossing the gut wall as well, and that's having a negative effect on the encapsulation response. The relationship between encapsulation and respiration was not clear, and it's most likely there's a latent variable that's correlated with both encapsulation and respiration. So just to compare, we also did this with a broad generalist caterpillar, Gramia incorrupta, which feeds on over 50 species of plants. It does sequester iridoid glycosides, but in much lower concentrations, 1.75% compared to as high as 20% for the buckeye caterpillars. And when these caterpillars were feeding on a high iridoid glycoside diet and a low iridoid glycoside diet, and their melanization response measured, there was no difference at all in their melanization response. So these results bring into question the paradigm that sequestering is an effective defense for natural enemies. In fact, this may not be the case for parasitoids, which may actually benefit from putting its eggs inside of chemically defended sequestering caterpillars, because not only are their eggs defended from other predators that are attacking these caterpillars, but they're also developing within an immunocompromised caterpillar. So what we may see an evolution, perhaps, towards feeding on less toxic plants or sequestering at lower concentrations. Of course, this will be relative to the predator, the natural enemy that are attacking a particular population of caterpillars. So that if the dominant natural enemy is a predator, you might see more sequestration. And if the dominant natural enemy is a parasitoid, you may see a shift away from sequestration. With that, I would like to thank my committee here. I forgot to mention I did my PhD in New Orleans, Louisiana, so there's much costuming that takes place around Mardi Gras and Halloween. So Lee Dyer-Grant Gentry, Jeff Chambers, and Dean Bowers, as well as the lab, my lab mates from Tulane, and my funding sources. Thank you.
Have a question?
Question?
So, how do you think the castration affects Guinness? So it looked like it was affecting Guinness. And it seems like Guinness got a lot of flavor.
Yeah. Well, Tequinids still, so the question was, how does encapsulation affect Tequinids? Tequinids, even though they, the female will maybe just oviposit eggs onto the surface or planinial larvae, they still have to get inside the caterpillar and they're still exposed to those hemocytes that are inside of the caterpillar. It's actually an interesting question as well, because I think in some cases the Tachinids, since they make respiratory funnels inside of the caterpillar, they can co-opt the immune system of the caterpillar for their own benefit by using these melanization encapsulation processes to make their respiratory funnel. So it's not quite as clear-cut as it will be.